This morning, I kind of feel like I haven't done A or B in this. But anyway, this is what I have today to give to you. The focus basically is I would like you to consider who God is. I mean, I really want to talk about why are these Ten Commandments the ones? Like, say, if you have a babysitter, do people have babysitters anymore? I don't know, high school kids used to have like, three brothers and sisters so that by the time they were in high school, they knew how to keep a child. But I'm not sure that high schoolers have time for that kind of nonsense anymore. But if you had a babysitter and you told them, get them in bed at 8 o'clock, don't give them too many sweets, don't let them swim in the pool without you, and then you came home and you found that the babysitter had embroidered a pillow that had all the rules on it. And the kid was sobbing in the bed, abandoned by the babysitter. Sometimes I think we think that the Ten Commandments should be put up on the courthouse, and people are willing to go to great lengths to make sure that the Ten Commandments are on the courthouse. We want to embroider it on a pillow. We want to have it on a list somewhere. We have no concern for the people that God is dealing with. And so this morning, as we look at the Ten Commandments, it's the lectionary text, so we take the next one that comes. I would like, I really don't know what to do with this, but look at who God is here. What is he saying? And I believe you are all very familiar with the scriptures. And every now and then I'm surprised, someone doesn't know, and we miss things. But I think you know the Ten Commandments, and you know this is who God is. I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God. I'd like to just focus on this. Let's say a prayer here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this congregation. It was a mainline congregation, and then different things happened, and they opened their hearts, and they changed, and then they changed again. And now they're at another crossroads. And I thank you for the different kinds of people that are here, and I especially thank you for the young people that are here. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will open their hearts to you, that they won't just become Christians who follow rules, but that they will. I want them to follow the rules, Lord, so they won't shipwreck their lives, but I pray that their hearts would be changed and they would be the core of a living church that goes into the next generation. And for those who are young but not the youngest, and those who are middle-aged, and those who are older, and those who are very old, each in our own way, I pray that you would help us to be faithful and keep the church alive, for the glory of your name. Help us now as we think about who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that Dallas Willard says is, preach the kingdom of God. Preach the kingdom of God. Because his teaching, Dallas Willard's teaching, if I understand him correctly, and y'all are the experts, is that the kingdom of God has already started. We're not going to, somehow hold on and then die and then, oh, here it is. It's suddenly the light has dawned, but that we're supposed to start living in the presence of God. Now, the Ten Commandments reveal the kingdom of God. Now, as you know, the second tablet of the law presents what is universally recognized as the basis of happy and stable communities. That's Commandments 6 through 10. However, almost universally, the human being who reads these things thinks that I would be happier if I didn't have to keep these commandments. It's just extraordinary. We do not find satisfaction in our hearts by keeping the commandments. Indeed, they make us irritated. In Romans 7:7, we find the disjoint between what we know is a good way of life and the inability we have. Even if we do keep the commandments and stay on the rails, we still don't have a sense of peace and joy, and this is it, this is the good life. It's just extraordinary. Now, Jesus interprets them, as you know, several places, for example, Matthew 22, that it's not just don't commit adultery, it's don't be always looking at the women, or if it's looking at the men, or whatever it is, don't be always, and for women, sometimes lust is, wow, he's so kind and gentle. He listens, you know, he listens. that's the seduction there, isn't it? And for men, it's usually through the eyes, but we don't want to make stereotypes, whatever it is. That it isn't just the act of unfaithfulness in marriage, but it's not keeping your focus on your partner. And if you got to wrestle it through with them, it'd be easier if this other person understands me. Yeah, they understand you. They don't know you. you don't have to deal with them. And Jesus always says it's the way your heart is focused. But that doesn't mean, well, I'm committing adultery, but I'm still faithful to my wife in my heart. You know, we're very tricky as human beings. So it's a good way of life to mind your own business and keep your own house and focus on your own partner and not to be stealing and not to be, but also to keep our hearts focused on the Lord. But even if we could keep these things, it's the emptiness of our hearts that makes it impossible for us to enter the kingdom of God through these commandments. We see, this would be good. I'd like to live in a town where people minded their own business like this. But would you be happy there? Can you do that? The first tablet of the law establishes the relationship between God and God's people. The first through fourth commandments are not universal. You're becoming sectarian. You're becoming religious. You're denying other people's faith. Now, this is very difficult. God is the God of all people, and it's nice to think that, but there's something, God is always talking about my people. Lord, didn't you create them all? Aren't they all your people? And we think that they are, but through a covenant, God established a covenant with the Jewish people, the children of Abraham, through Isaac, and there's something, some way that, and the way that I tell myself is, they're chosen to be trained so that they can train the next people. The Jewish people trained, and then they were able to teach people who believed in Christ the foundations, and then the Christians are trained in a way that they can show the world about justice and about the presence of God. But there is judgment as well in the scriptures, and so we must recognize this. The first through fourth commandments are not universally recognized and separate the human community, this is very painful, into people who accept their jurisdiction and those who do not. We enter God's kingdom by God's call and invitation. We respond to the grace and faithfulness of God, and then when we become thankful, then we step out and we actively join God's kingdom. And as we just mentioned, the kingdom of God is already here among us through Christ, Luke 4. And the kingdom of God continues eternally. It's not just a little thing that happens here and then, well, that was nice, and then we move into regular history. No. God reveals God's self to Moses and the community of Israel through these commandments. It's basically a legal document. And if you study, I love this kind of thing. You study the history, whatever. It's a form of an agreement between a god and a people in Mesopotamia in that area. It's not like something that fell down out of heaven. It's a form that people were using for kings and for their gods between a people and a god. I have done this for you. I have brought you out of Egypt, and I claim you as my people, and you owe me allegiance. It's to me that you look. It's based on God's previous and ongoing work with his people. the thing that starts separating it out here is the presence of God, the God that's presented here. God is and was and always will be. His name is I Am. It's like, I am what? No, I am. We find in Exodus 3:6, and Jesus also repeats, before Abraham was, I am. And they're going to kill him because we think, oh, what's the big deal? For a Jewish person to say I am means they're identifying with the Creator God. And no human being can be God. They don't believe in the incarnation. So they start to stone him. In the Bible, this is singular. And you know, people get really excited. In Genesis, it says, let us make them in our image. And they go, oh, that's the Trinity right there. It's a plural. So, but here, this is a singular. And in the presence of God, it's not like the first among equals. It's not like the cantons of Switzerland where you rotate the leadership. It's not a rotation. In the face of God, there can be no other God. You may believe in other gods, but in the presence of God, there is no one else. And also, we are forbidden to make images of the true living God. Graven in stone, wood, or metal, any likeness, living, angelic, bird-like, human, animal, fish, or an inanimate object. We're forbidden to make, and in Deuteronomy it says, neither male nor female. We must not think of God as having an image. Now God enters a relationship with the people through God's free decision. I am the Lord your God. And he is very serious about God's relationship with us. I am a jealous God. And I don't know if you've known any kids whose parents are pastors, but a lot of them stray because they feel that their parents don't be parents to them. That their father, usually this is the olden days, their father is out guiding the youth of this community, but they're not dad. This is the jealousy part. It's a relationship where there is no exchange. It's not like whoever shows up at 9 o'clock, I'm going to teach them. It's a relationship that you can't interchange with somebody else. It's a parent, it's a child. And I'm not saying anything about biological children, adoption, whatever means it is that child is yours, that's your child, not a random person. It's a parent-child relationship. It's a relationship between a man and, let's just say, spouse, between a spouse. And I know that the big thing now is polyamory. Why are you so jealous? Why can't you be a mature person and let more people into this relationship? This is a jealous relationship that's just between you and the other person, come what may. And God is an exclusive and deliberate relationship that cannot be interchanged with anybody else. So you and God, you can't put somebody else in God's slot, and God will not put anybody else in your slot. He's jealous of your presence with him as well. I mean, it just boggles the mind. There's a lot of people out there in the world that God can, you know, pay attention to you in the same, in an exclusive way. But he has that with other people too. So it's not that other people can go to hell. It's you and him. And he is that same way with your neighbor as well, which is really an amazing thing. So here we see that God is serious about God's relationship with us, and it's attested throughout the Bible. It'll be in the notes that if you want to look it up tomorrow. And God's name is independent and cannot be manipulated with magic or other purposes to control. It's like the kid says, you can't let him get by with that. When I was his age, I never could do that. But the parent is independent. The parent can say, in this case, this child needs that. You may not have had it when you were 12, but I'm making a judgment here. This kid needs it. God is independent. He will not follow your rules. You just try. He will not follow your rules. And so that's to use the name of God and to tell people God does this, God does that. I know. He is independent of any idea you have of what he should or should not do. That's magic. And there is, God does not do magic. You can't control God, and you can't use him for your own purposes. Then we talk about the Sabbath, and there are several reasons given in the scriptures for a Sabbath. And so it's like one of those things, you can't pin it down. And the 7 day is not tied to the sky, right? The year is tied, it's a little bit off, but the year is tied to the cycle of the earth around the sun. The month is tied to the moon cycle, but the 7 day week is not tied to anything that we can observe, as far as I'm aware, in the world. It is a cycle that God just said. And there are places in the world where in history, nowadays people have pretty adjusted, 10-day cycle, 15-day cycle, different kinds of ways of marking time. But God has put this 7 day, and somehow it's nice to rest every 7 days. And if you don't, you will find you'll become less productive. And you just need to be with the Lord. You need to rest every 7 days. And so God puts it in here. Christ himself lived in the kingdom, and his teaching and example with his presence through the Spirit teaches us that that's what it is to live in the kingdom and to live in the presence of the God who made these commandments. And so you can see that in this today, I'm talking neither A nor B, and so I'm afraid I'm not hitting the mark, but I believe that in some way God has spoken to you about his presence with you, and that to think about a God who is exclusively in a relationship with you may be a helpful thing for you as you continue to think about your spiritual life. Amen.